second episode in KBOO's 10-part series on the sex industry in Portland. Each of the episodes will take on a different aspect of this subject.
This is an introduction. Here we'll give you a rough idea of the size of the industry, and we'll get input from the citizens of Portland about how they view the business of sex in our city. The third episode is about how the business fits in the history and culture of the city.
Episode 4 covers sex industry workers. Who are the people doing this work? How do they see it? And what about race, gender, and economic issues?
In 5, we focus on law and enforcement. We'll talk with the FBI, Department of Justice, and the Portland Police Bureau about what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Episode 6 is about sex trafficking, the exploitation of children in the sex industry, and the forced employment of adults.
The 7th episode focuses on prostitution, what it means in Portland, how we regulate it, and the issues that it raises.
8th episode looks at sex stores and porn here in Portland.
Episode 9 looks at stripping, burlesque, and other ways to get naked in this city, and how that fits in our culture.
And in the end, episode 10, we'll try to bring together some closing thoughts. We'll challenge your thinking, whatever it is.
Just for setting a context, we asked Officer Chris Lindsay and Undercover Agent A of the Portland Police Bureau, do you think that Portland is a hub of the sex industry?
I would say yes to an extent because, I think at least as recently as either 2015 or 2016, Portland per capita had the most strip clubs in the nation. And when you think of the sex industry, don't think of them as standalone kind of entities. There's some overlap. And you will have, whether you want to call them sex workers or prostitutes or escorts or victims or survivors of sex trafficking, will work within multiple aspects of the sex industry. Yeah, we do have people being trafficked outside of strip clubs. Portland is also, it's kind of a geographical hub. It's right on I-5. There's a lot of industry here. It's got the number one airport, it was number one airport in the nation. You have a lot of truck drivers along I-84 and I-5. When you have that kind of influx of the, you have a lot of, lingerie shops and...
Here's FBI agent Denise Bean putting the local culture into a broader perspective.
I think there's some characteristics about Portland specifically that do enable traffickers to ply their trade with much success here. And you see that in strip clubs and adult sex shops, et cetera. I don't think the adult sex shops are so much of a causality as I do think the strip clubs are, because, one of the things that we know about sex trafficking is the normalization of sexual exploitation tends to increase its proliferation. So if the community accepts sexual exploitation as the norm, then that's a area where you may find an increased occurrence of sex trafficking.
Wait a minute. Did you say we accept exploitation as a norm?
If a community does. It's the community factors. I didn't say that we did, but I said if a community accepts sexual exploitation as kind of a norm, and it depends on what your beliefs are with respect to strip clubs, right? We have... strip clubs that allow an 18-year-old to dance in front of adults, and an 18-year-old is an adult. But at what point does the normalization of that sexual activity, being dancing naked, at what point does that maybe turn the corner to something that's more participatory?
So there's sort of a cultural acceptance of certain kinds of actions.
Right.
By the way, we think that Agent Bean was right in talking about normalization. Isn't this where the business of sex has an interesting connection with the exploitation of women in general? Or are we reaching too far to think that?
But in this episode, we want to give most of our time to the people of Portland. What do they think about these issues? Let's get back to the voice of the people.
I am not the expert in this, so I could not speak to that. Mm-hmm. And I would not speak to that.
This is tricky because I don't really know. Sorry, as a woman, I've never utilized the sex industry.
don't know a lot about it. I'm not sure.
I remember who quotes it, but they say that, you know, it's a comedian, and I think he's saying, well, what isn't, what do we not use sex to sell, I guess, you know? So, in terms of that, you know, is a Nike ad, or is it uses sex to sell in, to sell a commodity? Mm-hmm. I don't really know. But I think about it just in terms of pornography or prostitution.
Anything in the world is safer when it's open and communicated. Mm-hmm. Hiding things and keeping it on the dark makes people do... I've watched people shoot up. Instead of being able to get clean needles, which they are able to around here, which is nice, but I've seen people do stuff, put juice in their arm, mix it, you know, things like that, because they want that. And so when things are available, even like drugs or sexual activities, then people don't commit gluttony with it. Mm-hmm. They ration it out and things like that and respect it more when there's a balance. So that's where regulation can start, actually addressing the fact that people have sex.
People who are desperate are going to go where the money is, and you cannot blame them for that. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think there's anything we could do to regulate it differently, or in this case, regulate it at all?
I think regulating the men who support it, but in general, as you, like, you look at the last 10 years, pornography has exponentially grown. Like, and as one of Jehovah's Witnesses, because it is what the Bible foretells, like, it would get so bad, and it affects family life, and, you know, all, it's a part of a bigger problem. But I don't believe that there's any solution for it except for the Creator to step in. So...
prostitution should be legal, because if you have an adult grown woman who makes a conscious choice to say, I'm willing to do this and I'm comfortable doing this and nobody coerced me into doing this, why should I not be able to be compensated for my time in the same way that I can cook my own dinner? But if I go to a restaurant and somebody cooks it for me, I'm going to enjoy it more. I'm going to feel better about it, and I am happy to pay what I need for it. And I can only assume, as a guy, if I can give myself a hand job, but I can find a woman who is willing to give me one, and I am happy to pay her for one, and I will enjoy it more, why is that not okay? In the same way I can try to scratch my own back, or I can go to a massage therapist. She can do it better. I will enjoy it better. It kills me that there isn't a level of legal prostitution, because there really should be. It is the oldest profession for a reason. You can't just say, oh, well, we'll make it illegal and it goes away. Yeah, it's not going to go away. Stop criminalizing.
So, the people speak. We'll hear more from them in our next episode when we talk a little more about Portland's history and culture.
We'd like your feedback. At the end of this series, we'll do a full episode in which you get to speak your mind on this subject. Call the KBOO Newsroom at 503-231-8187, and we'll hear you out and put you on the air. Again, the number is 503-231-8187.
KBOO News, this has been Tom Flynn. Natalie Motti co-anchored, and Grace Ann Smith did those interviews on the street. Thanks for listening.